The Holy Gospel for the second Sunday after Christmas is from John's Gospel, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. Came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of a man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.'" From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take a little journey down memory lane. Me, ninth grade. So we're talking 1966 here, okay? Beginning of the year, it is the first day of gym class. Time to pick the squads into which we'll be divided for the remainder of the whole school year. Six squad leaders are to be chosen. They are chosen by nomination. And the nominations come from the students. And then they, all six of them, stand out away from the wall and against which we're all standing, and they, one by one, select the members of their squad. It is, for me, a fat nerd who, even though I'm almost a full year older than most of the kids, seem to still be lagging behind in terms of development physically. It is a day for me that I absolutely abhor. And it happens every year, seventh grade, eighth grade, now again, ninth grade. I'm no athlete. And so I have to endure the pain of having everyone chosen before me and a handful of the others, folks who aren't athletes at all. Most of us either overweight or seriously underweight. And one by one, students are chosen, assigned to the squad. Eight to a squad. The six that are already there. And 42 students left to pick. One by one, up they go. Until there's just the six of us left. And the squad leaders look at us and kind of go, "I don't care." none of them are of value to me, so I don't know, I'll take you. The only mercy left is that you're not the very last one picked. But still, to be one of the last six standing against the wall is a deep shame. Well, that's how they did it, and so here we are. A new gym year, and the first three squad leaders are nominated. And we just wish it would get over with. And then Brent Stenberg, a great athlete, good at football, good at basketball, a terrific track star, and a really, really good friend of mine for no good reason other than we went to elementary school together and hit it off there, nominates me. And the students groan. I mean, the rule is you pick the great athletes, the people who, you know all the games we're going to be playing and who can be leaders by example. And I'm not one of them. And they groan and moan, and Coach Johnson rolls his eyes and looks at Brent as if, you're kidding, right? And the noise starts to get a little louder, and to his credit, Coach Johnson knows that somebody's going to raise a formal complaint and name me as undeserving. And so he says, a nomination is a nomination. Heading, get up here. You're one of our squad leaders. And I can breathe. Standing in the line against the wall, in the back of the line, right up against the wall, it's like the wall has reached out and grabbed my chest and has constricted it to where I can't even get a decent breath. Waiting for the inevitable shame and dishonor. And I deserve it. I'm not an athlete. A couple of laps around the gym, I'm out of breath. I don't deserve to be a squad leader. I know it. I don't deserve to be one of the next ones picked. I know that. It's been drummed into me. But the anticipation of the awful moment just crushes my ribs and you can hardly breathe. And then Brent speaks and Coach Johnson speaks and I can breathe. And I walk out there to take my place as squad leader number four. And it doesn't dispel all the dishonor because the grumbling is quieter, but it's still there. But there is honor, at least from Brent and Coach. And that's a delight. And the other two are picked, and now it's time for us to pick our squad members. And so when it comes around to me with the fourth pick, Brent Stenberg comes to my squad. He's a great athlete. He's going to be a great, great asset to our squad. And it comes around again, and I look at Larry Hosfeldt. Larry has joined me as one of the last six. in years past. He will not be an asset. But having been able to breathe a little bit and knowing what he's going through, I call on Larry. Yeah, it keeps going that way. The great athletes, except for Brent, are on the other five squads, and we don't look so good. We look like we are doomed to be beaten in every game that's played. But all of us have more honor than we used to have. And we're breathing a little better than we used to breathe. And to be honest with you, we overperformed throughout that whole year. That doesn't mean we were good. It just means that we overperformed what our expectations were. And to be honest with you, there is honor in that as well. Brent Stenberg extended grace to me. The only qualification he had for nominating me was that he liked me and we were friends. But that was enough. Hear this piece of our gospel again. What has come into being in the Word was life. The life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. We've seen its glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Well, for me, instead of light to that moment, it was being able to breathe, taking in oxygen and air. And you know, these days that might be a little better metaphor than just light and darkness. Thinking of COVID filling small spaces. COVID in a confined area so that we don't have anybody here but people that have to be here. Masks when you go out in public so that you'll have your own little space where you can't breathe quite as well as you used to. Constricted breathing all about. Checked the weather app this morning for temperature and whether it was going to be sunny or not. And that one gives me also a reading of the air quality. You'll be happy to know that today we are 40. That's 40 out of 500, and that's really good. And that the only air quality pollutant we have to be concerned about even a little bit that keeps us from being a one is particulate matter. 10 micrograms per meter cubed or less. That'd be smoke, that'd be ash, that'd be dust, things like that. That, not too bad, our bodies will be able to handle that much in the atmosphere without harm. If it gets higher than that, well, then we have to be a little more careful. Then we don't breathe as easily. But grace upon grace means that we as human beings, with an understanding that we do not live up to our own measures, much less God's measures, even when we try really, really hard and we're well-meaning and well-intentioned, something in us. It could be something as benign as a habit or as unbenign as a mean streak. Keeps us from breathing in that Holy Spirit as well as we ought. But the Word has brought life, and the life is the breath of all people. And constrictions have not overcome that breath. We look for life in other places besides the Word. Challenges of 2020 has been an election that has left us with a divided bunch. There are some who, since the election, have been breathing easier than they did the previous 4 years, relieved. And there's also a large number of people who felt like they breathed easier these last 4 years, and now they're not going to breathe quite so easily. There are restrictions around their lungs squeezing them tight. They don't like it. People talked about on both sides that this is an election for the soul of the nation, not just policies and practices, but to save the character of the nation. That might be asking too much of this. And certainly not so that it rivals the Word made flesh living among us, who brings grace upon grace, and who, if there is such a thing as the character or the soul of a nation, would be the one to deliver that. Second Sunday of Christmas. Jesus, that baby in Bethlehem, when he took his very first breath, gave us the breath of life that is grace and truth. Here another piece of the text. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the flesh or of the will of a man, but of God. And it is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Text remind us that law is a part of God. We know about that through Moses. But grace and truth are the defining characters of God. And God gives birth to us as God's children. We don't have any moral active part of that. We did in our conception. It is a gift powered by the Holy Spirit, who takes this Word made flesh, words on a text, Word acted out and lived out among God's people. The Holy Spirit gives birth to people who are children of God. The most honorable thing that we can be called. The defining character of God is shown to us through Jesus. Speaking to a guy named Nicodemus, who's a little confused, kind of interested, hopeful, but confused, and speaks to him of a wind that's blowing right in his face, maybe not even sure where it came from, but it lets him breathe like a child of God. Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman who shamefully sneaks out in the middle of the day in the heat of the day to draw water. lest her dishonor and shame be publicly acknowledged by the view of others. And he speaks grace and truth. And she is a child of God. Jesus, who speaks to a man who's supposedly cursed because of blindness from birth, about his value, and about being reborn, a child of God, who now sees, and speaks to a whole world by his death and resurrection, speaks about God, who loves the world so much that he gave himself in the Word made flesh, giving God's life so that our life might be abundant now and eternal hereafter. We hear it, and we too know, just because of grace upon grace, that we are children of God. And we'll start to live like that. You can't know that that's the defining character of God and be made a child of God and not start to act a little bit like that. Seeking out the Larry Hospitals of the world who are nameless when it comes to being picked by a squad leader, who suffer the indignity of hearing someone say, "Oh, I don't care. Any one of you is as bad as the rest. You don't have any value, so I don't know. How about you?" And instead become squad member number 3. And they can breathe. Because of Jesus, we know that being a child of God, we're going to act a little bit like it. And when we see those folks who are dishonored and shamed and ignored and who no one else seems to want to touch, we extend our life in our hands, convinced that if it's grace upon grace that made us children, then it is grace upon grace that has made them children and our siblings. And because we breathe a little better, we can't wait for them to breathe better as well. Constrictions on our chests are gone. We breathe in the clean life-giving air that comes through the Holy Spirit, through the Word made flesh, and we are children of God, born of grace upon grace. Amen.